Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOL, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. It's a Friday edition of the show. We're going to move over to the national sports scene. Yesterday, we talked a lot about the Cleveland Indians, on if they would actually get to win number 22. Now, they got to win number 22, and it was in dramatic fashion, but yet they find another way to get a victory, and they continue to increase their lead in the American League standings. We're also going to talk some National League Baseball during this segment. We'll bring in a great friend of mine, Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, always a pleasure. Thank you for the time.
Well, thank you for inviting me on. I appreciate it very much. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty in baseball. We're down to about the final 18, 20 games. Things are starting to really take form. I think we know what we're going to get in the National League, but the American League is kind of a different beast right now. I mean, we have the Indians, we have the Astros, we have the Red Sox. The Yankees are not dead yet. They're only three back of the Red Sox, and as far as the wild card playoff picture goes, really it's not getting a lot of pub, but don't look now. There's a tie between the Angels and the Mariners as they try to run down Minnesota. I mean, it's a very interesting race right now in the American League, Steve.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the American League race, especially because of the team you mentioned, the Minnesota Twins, because while the Cleveland Indians have clearly run away with the American League Central, the Minnesota Twins are battling on. Kansas City's kind of fallen off a little bit in the recent weeks. Of course, they just lost that epic last night, game 22 in a row for the Cleveland Indians. But the Minnesota Twins are this team that nobody's really paying attention to. And I like this team. I like what I've seen from them in these last couple of weeks because, again, while it's easy to get lost in the shuffle of the Cleveland Indians story, Minnesota's battling on, and they've done it, you know, with a kind of a patchwork rotation, kind of a patchwork bullpen. But I like what I'm seeing from this team. They got a pivotal couple of games coming up here down the road to keep themselves in the chase right now. But I'm keeping an eye on them right now because for the second straight night, they win with a walk-off home run in the 10th inning. Brian Buxton's playing some good ball right now. This is a fun team to keep an eye on. And maybe they don't get the job done this year because their names are not the Red Sox, they're not the elite, you know, like you mentioned with the Cleveland Indians, but this is a fun team to follow. I think they're going to be even more fun to watch next year.
Now, I'm glad you bring up the Twins, because here's a really underrated story that nobody has talked about at all. It's the resurgence of Joe Mauer.
Oh, absolutely.
And nobody has talked about this. And offensively, if you look at the Minnesota Twins, they're really led by two individuals. Dozier has been fantastic this year. Joe Mauer is batting .306. These two guys have kept the offense afloat for the Minnesota Twins, and it's easy to forget that just a short 5-6 years ago, Joe Mauer was a legitimate MVP candidate in the American League. A couple of injuries, you know, before you know it, you forget about Joe Mauer. Now he's playing first base, he's batting .306 for the Twins, and no one's talking about it.
No, Eddie Rosario gets a walk-off home run the other night. This is a team that is going to be historic. They can be the first team ever to go from 100 losses last year to making the playoffs the next season. That's never happened before. So, and a lot of it does have to do, like you mentioned a moment ago, with Joe Mauer. The season he's put together right now has been outstanding. Brian Dozier with 30 home runs, 83 RBIs, and that's an anomaly because how many guys are hitting 30 home runs and only have 83 RBIs? That's a statement to just how difficult it's been to score runs, how difficult it's been for them to get runners on base and get runners across here. But you mentioned Joe Mauer, a guy who a couple of years ago we were talking about as an MVP candidate. The season he's put together right now has been outstanding. His last 7 days have been okay, but I mean, you know, especially at home, where he's been most effective, you know, has really been at home. He's had 14 doubles. He's done well this season. He's got a lot of RBIs, and he walks a lot, which I think is also a big thing for him. But a guy who's 34 years old, he's put together a good season so far. I like this team. Again, I don't think they're the elite level right now that the Indians are at right now, or the Red Sox are at right now, or certainly the Astros are at right now. But that's a guy who you really want to be keeping an eye on. That's a team that's going to be fun next year.
Speaking of the Twins, if they were to get into the postseason right now, they would have a showdown with the New York Yankees in a one-game playoff. Now, the Yankees are a team that I thought would die out. I thought they would totally fizzled, but Steve, they're three games back of the Red Sox right now. Obviously, the move of the deadline to grab Sonny Gray was a terrific move by Brian Cashman. Tanaka has been pretty good this season. He's leading the team in wins. I know he's got 12 or 13 wins. I can't remember off the top of my head, but he's been fairly consistent for this team. In a one-game playoff, who would you favor between these two teams? Because I think this is what we get in the AL wild card.
Yeah, and, you know, if you'd have asked me this 2 weeks ago, I might have said the Twins. But now you're seeing what I hate to call it a resurgence because it's only like 2 months ago, but now we're seeing Aaron Judge again. Now
right.
we're seeing him get those home runs. He hit 6 home runs, I think it's the last 10 games now. So I think that's the story right now is you mentioned Sonny Gray, and you, now, of course, you got Aaron Judge hitting the ball again. If it is that wild card matchup, if it is that playoff matchup, I think it's probably going to be the Yankees that move on from there simply because, again, Aaron Judge is finally, I think, finding his swing again, and that's a huge factor for the Yankees going forward.
Let's move over to the National League, and again, we're joined right now by Steve Bordstein, host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. We'll find out more about that show in just a moment, but the National League has been set in stone, Steve, I think for a little while now. The Rockies aren't going to go anywhere. They hold a 3-game lead, I know, on the Brewers and the Cardinals, but I would be very shocked to see the Rockies falter over the next 15 games. I think it's a lock that we get an NOS showdown in the wild card between the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. And then there could be some problems for the Dodgers once you get into the next round because the Dodgers have struggled with the Diamondbacks. We know on the flip side you have the Nationals and the Cubs, which is going to be a very interesting series. But as far as the National League goes, I think we're set. We know the five teams that will be playing come postseason time.
I'm not sold on Colorado.
Still.
I'm not sold on them holding this lead. I've watched this team. I watched that game last night between them and the Diamondbacks. The Rockies are just dreadful right now. And if you look at the stretch of games they have to play, you know, I mean, the thing about the Rockies has been all year has been they've really played well against teams they shouldn't play well against. You know, they've played well against the Nationals. They played well against the Dodgers. They don't play well in games they're supposed to win. They don't play well against the Padres. They don't play well against San Francisco. Well, if you look at their schedule, the next 10 games are against those two teams right there, are against the Padres and the Giants. I think this is a very pivotal stretch of games. These next 2 weeks for the Colorado Rockies and the Milwaukee Brewers, I think if the Brewers can move up, if the Brewers can do something these next couple of weeks and the Rockies falter, and a lot of these games are on the road. They've got a 7-game stretch on the road, a 6-game stretch on the road, against San Francisco and San Diego. And if the Rockies falter in any of those games, I think the Brewers can make a run here. That being said, if they don't, yes, you're right. It will be a Rockies-Diamondbacks showdown. The Diamondbacks win that. They move on. And then you mentioned, of course, they have to play the Dodgers. And look, I'm as grateful as any Dodger fan. You and I are both Dodgers fans. I'm glad they've gotten over their schneid here. I need to see this team play well on the road this weekend. I know the Nationals have already clinched, so they don't have anything to play for. The Dodgers still do. They need to reestablish their mojo, if you will, to get themselves back to that place where they are the dominant team in the National League. Because right now, they're not, and they need to reassert themselves. I think it meant a lot to see Curtis Granderson not in the lineup these last couple of days because Curtis Granderson strikes out more often than I do. So it was good to get him on the bench a little bit. I hope we see more of Cody Bellinger hitting the ball again like we saw the other night because I think this team still can get it done in October, but I need to see them be able to perform this week on the road in Washington.
Well, they looking at the pitching rotation here, it's going to be Wood, Hill, and Ryu for the Dodgers in a really crucial 3-game set. And I call it crucial because the Nationals have an opportunity to overtake the Dodgers still for home field. So the Dodgers need to win this series. If it's 2-1, if it's 3-0, the Dodgers need to win this series. With that being said, do you believe that it was simply just mental during this 11-game stretch, this 11-game losing skid, completely 100% mental now that you've logged a couple of wins against the Giants? And let's be honest, even in Kershaw's win against the Giants on Tuesday, the Dodgers didn't look all that great. I mean, again, this was a Giants team that pushed them in this contest. Was it just mental?
Well, if it's not mental, then it's managing. So pick your poison. And that's the way I've kind of looked at it right now. If it's not mental, if it's not, okay, they got complacent, they started believing their headlines a little bit, you know, maybe they thought they were better than they really are, you and I talked about this, maybe they shouldn't have won some of those games that they won. Maybe some of those ninth-inning heroics maybe were masking some other problems that the Dodgers were having. So if it's not mental, then it's managerial. And if it's managerial, that's a problem. Because now you're saying that, you know, Dave Roberts, who, well, two months ago, we were already shining up his National League, you know, Manager of the Year trophy right now. So I want to say it was mental. I want to say the Dodgers started believing their press clippings. And I'm going to say that because of, in particular, a couple of players. Younger players who are either not used to the headlines, not used to the spotlight being on them, or take advantage of the spotlight a little bit. Namely, Cody Bellinger. Not that it's his fault, but he's never been in this position before. And Yasiel Puig, who enjoys the spotlight and loves the spotlight and might have gotten too caught up in the spotlight a little bit. So it's pick your poison. Is it mental to you or is it managerial to you? I think the Granderson move was meant to sort of wake up Jock Peterson a little bit, and maybe that didn't work out so well because Granderson, again, strikes out a lot. So I think you can make cases for it being either mental or managerial. I hope whatever it was, I hope they're over it, and I hope they pick it up now in the last couple of weeks. What do you think it was?
I think it was mental. I really do. I think the talent is definitely there. I still, you know, I love the pitching rotation, but I'll tell you one aspect of this team, and I know the big move at the trade deadline was Yu Darvish, but Steve, he has not been any more consistent in a Dodger uniform than he was with the Rangers over the past year, year and a half.
I agree. And maybe we still needed that arm. Maybe the Dodgers still needed, maybe they needed that arm in that lineup. Maybe they needed that one more, just not overly dramatic consistent arm, but another consistent arm. I think, you know, one of the things that I think we need to see is some of these young kids being called up here on the 40-man roster. We need to see more from them, especially coming out of the bullpen, because Baez has been a disaster out of the bullpen in recent weeks. A lot of it has not been starting pitching, Jordan. A lot of it has been the middle relief guys who are not getting it done. And Baez is the most guilty one of all of that. I believe in like two or three consecutive games, he gave up multiple runs in positions where the Dodgers were either winning or close, and he was a disaster. So I need to see something from those middle relief guys that are going to get called up to the road, that are going to get called up from the 40-man roster. We need to see more from them in these coming weeks.
Steve Bordstein, he's the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, also host of the Fast Track. Steve, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
You can hear the show on the iHeartRadio app through our website at foxsports1340.com. First Sports airs 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, which is 7 to 9 a.m. local time in your area. You can hear it weekdays, again, on the iHeartRadio app at foxsports1340.com. If you're in the northwest New Mexico area, you can catch the show on the radio dial at AM 1340 or 93.9 FM. Again, First Sports, Monday through Fridays, we cover a lot of regional and national sports on the show. And then on the weekends, I also host a nationally syndicated horse racing show called The Fast Track, which airs at 10 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. local time. And again, you can catch that for all your horse racing best bets and much more. You can catch that also on the iHeartRadio app. You can also follow me on Twitter at Fox1340 AM.
Steve, always a pleasure to talk baseball with you. Thank you very much for taking out the time to join us. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the fight on Saturday, and I know we'll talk again real soon.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you for the time.
We got more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this. When we return, we're going to break down the contest you heard last night here on KOAL. The Cincinnati Bengals falling to 0-2. They have not scored a single touchdown yet this season. That's coming up next after this.